May 1st, 2018. It's the Watt from Pedro Show.
I'm
For Pedro show and Pedro. Brother Matt though is with the Dodgers doing some kind of baseball event, so he is unavailable, but he promised me next week. Do the genius of those engineers in Estonia though in their Skype device. I think Microshite owns it now though. I'm not alone completely. Mr. Tom. Pittsburgh, welcome aboard.
How's it going?
I'm glad to be talking about this. Let's talk about it. We start off the show, John Coltrane, when he was with Miles Davis doing Two Bass Hit, and then Black Moth Super Rainbow doing Panic Blooms. Now, Panic Blooms is the name of the new album, Black Moth Super Rainbow. And when was the last fresh Black Moth Super Rainbow stuff? How long ago was that?
2012.
Okay, so 6 years. What happened in between the recording of that and the recording of this?
I don't know. I did a couple things as tobacco, and I think Black Moth is kind of gets personal for me, and I think the older I get, the harder it is to get that out of me.
Less younger. Well, we're getting rid of the old word, Mr. Tom. As you get less younger.
Right. The less younger I get, it just takes longer, and, even though I have stuff to say, I don't always feel like saying it. And this one was kind of a rough one because it was, I think everyone thinks it's like a political statement or something, but that's like, it's just not something I do. I don't really get political. So it's just more of a personal thing. And it was just it's finally time.
Do you... Do you like the songs speaking for themselves, or do you like talking about them?
I like them speaking for themselves because I think, I don't know, I've always thought when things were, when I was younger and I had, like, songs that were important to me, and then some, like, dumbass musician goes and explains it, and it's, like, not what I wanted to hear, and it's, like, have fun.
The horror. The horror. They get in the way of their own art, right?
Yeah, I never wanted to do that, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I understand. And through personal experience. And, you know, that's happened to me, too. Also, like, meeting the cat sometimes. You should never meet him. Because it, like, kind of, puts a different flavor.
Sometimes they're exactly what you expect, and sometimes, it's all facade.
Because I was wondering, because I played the title tune first, and Panic Bloom, to me, is like a lot of stuff you do. You like to juxtapose. You like to put two kind of things that might be contrasted together. Because a bloom is like, kind of a flower, happy, and, a panic is like, ah! So I love this kind of thing as far as an aesthetic. Because, I think it's free enough and not tied to some, like, headline or something that is going to sound so silly, like a few months down the road or, topical, trying to be topical and stuff like that. And just having fun with... Or serious, whatever, but dealing with the words as like ways to express yourself artistically. So, the panic blooms. It's not the panic bloom. So maybe like because it isn't a single; it's a collection of tunes. Would you say that the whole thing is kind of? Did you write it over the 6 years? No. Or did you write in little bursts?
I'm kind of always going. It was a lot of little bursts, and then like 2015, I kind of had some some pretty bad issues with like sleeping and some anxiety and some shit like that, and I couldn't do anything, and then. Finally, when I started feeling better, it kind of all came out in like a big wave, And so,
when's it coming out? I'm curious. When is it coming out? How do you know if it's coming out as Tobacco or is it coming out as Black Moth Super Rainbow?
It used to just be, whatever it things just they I think the two things just sound different, and then I can't always describe it because I think both of them are always changing. But
yeah, but you can feel it.
I can feel it. Yeah. So when it's more personal and it's more about me these days, and and it's something that I think people could maybe latch onto. For themselves, then it'll be Black Moth. And Tobacco stuff is more of me just like having fun and like playing around and not maybe not expecting anyone to like it at all. Not that I expect anyone to like this either, but maybe they will.
But Tobacco started off as a band member of Black Moth Super Rainbow, right?
Well, it's all just been me the whole time.
<I know. laughs>
But
different sides of you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and that's the way it got played up when it first started, was that, it's just some guy from Black Moth. But I think people could probably hear that was bullshit,
Yeah, big time. I mean, there's a maestro involved. I do feel they are different places, but there's quite a lot in common, too.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you know, the same mind dreaming about different things.
Yeah, that's actually a good way to put it.
And now, when it came to recording, did you do anything different from 6 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, I was real, I was real picky about the way I produced this one. I had an idea, how I wanted it to sound, and, I've used some keyboards and stuff in the past that I think got played out. So I kind of limited myself to only a couple things, and everything had to be new. Everything had to be stuff that I wasn't using on the old Black Moth albums. And I think, like, a lot of people will even think it probably all sounds the same anyways, but to me it's different.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I put a lot of thought into that.
And, you know, a lot of your stuff, does it matter at the place, the chamber, the room? Because a lot of your stuff is lying, right? So do you use a lot of acoustic ambience?
No, it's mostly line. This album in particular was all line. The last one I did I had a lot of stuff amped, mic'd, but okay. Yeah, this one was all line.
Okay, so it really doesn't matter on that. This can be done like in one room. What about the drums? Because you have a thing of recording live drums and then using them as samples, right?
Yeah, I didn't do that this time. I had my drum sounds. I've been kind of collecting over the years. Like, you know, I'll hear like a snare that I really like, and I'll grab it.
Yeah.
That I really like, and I'll grab it, and I just have this little kind of like mini library of my favorite drum hits, and I'll just tap it all out in an MPC.
Right, right. When it comes. So are you thinking sound? I'm curious about how you get the rhythm track. Are you thinking the sounds, or do you get the riff going and then you figure a way to flesh out that riff with the drums? Maybe drum is a riff is bad. Maybe pattern.
I like riff because okay, I've always been in search of like the greatest riff.
So. Actually, they are riffs. Yeah, I know. Because I think people just always want to consider drummers idiots, you know, even if it's a drum machine, it's an idiot. And they don't play riffs, right? They do patterns, you know. Real musicians do riffs. But, I would call them riffs, too. So I'm wondering, like, you say you hear that good snare sound, or you got a good, this kick, and do you, so organically you work with the sound first, or do you get the riff going, and then how am I going to flesh his riff out?
That all happens at the same time. There's no real like demoing or anything. It just kind of.
You don't use placeholder beats.
No, because if I had the perfect beat,
yeah,
I would just stick with whatever the placeholder was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if I can't hear it, like there is no placeholder.
Right. So, yeah, you don't want you to do it by Braille. You want to feel it. That makes good sense. I want to play here harmlessly. And like you said, you want the songs to speak for themselves, right?
Yeah.
Okay, here it goes. We'll be right back.
who would want it?
Oh,
Russian matroski is fit. Люди с узорами догладают ей груди. Люди с узорами догладают немцы. Семьёй пуне главу, руки се, крупи се, суки се, су твари са девочице. Играти ластиш, она никогда не стала. Кулаки ручать никогда не била, не на спать. Люди, ты чудес, зар она может дать.
Pause to reflect before response, except thoughtfulness balks at once. Perhaps that excessive convenience which shakes its unholy head. Once proud sweat and aha moments were a shared, lauded cause. Before embezzlement bade rape, rules be damned. Now, do we live in bed? Yeah, sleep we long to view a soft, undulating range. Flanneled in essence of this generous land, heaving with verdant forbs, downed in dew, then fresh spiked by rain as push heads gain fullest dehiscence, closer to the blues than as finely played. In is so widely imbibed. Yet, whether complained about confusingly by televisional forces or paid to parade drunk while marching to rabid communal dispensers, a puppetry of negatonized pulse increases, throbbing with faux gravity. Then panic spills from every flower, wilting in the fluorescent sun. Such purloined moments wash downstream, unrecoverable. Poignant wistfulness for the very now wells up into heady foams. A bubbling possibility that smothers every last chance to give and shine. Hear the foothills kick and scream for mercy as verdant cascades weep. Turbulence scrabbles the spoiled rabble, streaming on streets of discontent. Within the nursery, mushy foils push only buttons to feed, water, or groom. Lesser or seldom may they carve or build or scrawl or spline or nail the fence, finding instead deep discounts, ennui, and sloth among the withering blooms. Keen observations, sonic or otherwise, elude tweens and jeans, busy being seen, heard, and read at 420 characters, while a misdirection infection leeches common sense thence, whereas, beware. From the common good rises a fraudulistic do-goodery that goes duty on everyone disagreeing with supposed duty, so thoroughly supping to toe the line of icy, policed thought that text reads weird no longer on paper, nor even hallowed. Within the cloud, gray matter deficits by petty knee-jerks as succulent handouts cannot land fast enough like hammer blows. Rockin' bling ka-ching while targets are found to pounce and besmirch. They're flagpoles of incontinence jabbing on hot Skype or whatever. Who knows? Smashed are dearly held values, less inclined to be on sale. Creativity goes unrewarded over and again. No Cheetos there, only half-baked rewards of planned obsolescence and junk food. Time to bail! It's fine to rail against any lawfulness laid bare, yet a lawless hustler opened that door. Admitting barbarity, letting dreams of civilized minds and unrelenting creativity smother and grind in its decrepit wake. Floundering gin-soaked, while sanding jank coin amid the din, a sick lavishness sets in. Yet religion's never needed, though it'll accessorize like gold, not only not all discovered, but barely hovering near logic, cashed from smoldering deposits to fetishize the other for sport. Who'll find challenge in that chase? Is there even a last resort? Never been a lock-on certainty, just cruel and colorful mind controls. Nothing but restraint by diversionary tactics, obligatory and self-imposed. Cheat novelty widgets interact with government cheese. Sex dolls! A ridiculous plastic calculus duly window-dressed like a hot, tasty circus. So don't mind the breeding, nor the breading. That'll flake off with the gold. Naturism shall be enforced. No clothes anymore for the emperor or the whore. Best to launch now into deepest space, all the hopes and dreams untold, as naked twisters roll a cyber cyclone into psychophantic paintings of a virtual never was. Number 13. We may breathe or not. Or not.
Watt from Pedro Show. Yeah, we started that off Chuck of Music, Harmlessly, Black Mouse Super Rainbow. And then Stick Sellers with Think of Yourself as Customer. Vasco Atanasoski, his brand new solo record. So Akango Ke Te Vatsam. I'm a Macedonian, sorry. Kodorashki, Tempa, Mystery of the Bulgarian Voices with Yova. Ona Sebudi from Sarlo Acrobato, amazing Koya on the bass. Snooze Emotion with Sound Trigger. Chris Skoger out of Austin, Texas with his poem Reaction Rundown Blues. And finally, Harry Reeve with Quite a Week. I want to ask you, do you have somebody master your stuff, or do you master yourself?
Yeah, that's it. The only other person that touches at any point in the process is my mastering guy. Okay. I've been using the same guy in Chicago. It's got Colin, uh-huh. Boiler. Pretty much the whole time I've been making music.
That's the one consistent thing.
Yeah.
Because Ryan, right, Chicago, was that the connect, the Grave...
Back in the day, I think he's the one who connected us.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So in a way, you want a little bit of another cat's perspective.
But I also never really wanted to learn how to master.
No, it's mean another perspective on your work. Like, it's not 100%. You have somebody else at the end of the day. It's a little outside. It's another cat, right? What's his name? Colin?
Colin, yeah.
Yeah, so in a way you get I'm not going to say a proofreader or editor, but some guy, because you send him the final thing, right? He's not involved with the process before that.
Right, he's the first guy that hears the final thing.
But you let him do stuff, right? Like compression and EQ.
Yeah, he's pretty good about staying transparent, though. He knows he knows how particular I can be sometimes with
Have you ever set him back? Do it again.
I don't think so. No, I think because the first time I sat with him in the room was the first one ever, and I think he got kind of an understanding of
what was his process? I'm curious because I've used the same guy for mastering, John Golden over here. He's in Ventura now, and I'm curious what kind of because I know cats they. The first time through, they're making the rundown. Now, my guy, John Golden, what he'll do is he'll listen to the whole thing, and he makes notes. So he's talking about, levels and fade-outs and EQs, and he's doing this all by ear, But then when it comes through, it takes a little longer. I'm wondering, is like that with Colin? Do you listen to the whole thing first?
Yeah, it's the exact same thing. And then, if I'm in the room.
Yeah.
And I fuck something up, he'll tell me, and then I'll usually tell him I did that on purpose, and we'll stick with it, and it's all good.
I remember our first spiel on the show, and you told me you're thinking of bumpers. The music has little things from the PBS, right?
Yeah.
The songs are pretty pretty short format on this baby.
Like 2-3 minutes. It's hard to hold my attention.
No, it's all right. It's all right. And I noticed tobacco's like that too. Yeah, you like the shorter formats, but there's still buttloads of variety. Do you feel a weight though? Like, man, I got to write more compositions. If I had some big long jams, no, it's your attention, right? You know how long it feels good.
Yeah, I think, and that's been I've had criticism for that.
It's no criticism of mine. I was just checking it out.
I mean, I think I always like the idea of getting in and getting out, packing in the ideas, as much as you can without wasting time.
Yeah.
Too many people waste time, and you listen to even some of my favorite songs, like classic songs, they waste so much time in the verse. Building to the chorus.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, it just, to me, it feels like so many wasted notes. And it's just like, you, all you're trying to do is build into, I guess there's a point to it, because you're building anticipation.
Yeah, drama.
But why not have it all be the good part?
Yeah, because what I'm feeling you're saying is like, it ends up like filler.
Right.
And people, there's enough filler in people's lives.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's something that goes back. D Boom was like that too, man. People are working all week. No filler.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you distill. When you're composing, you know, and you get the riffs going, do you start out with too much and have to cut down?
Not usually. And I think maybe that's where, you know, it would be interesting. I think the next time I do something, I kind of want to work with someone who's like better than me, that can sort of like push me, you know, in a way to be like, all right, like this is too much. Like, this isn't good. You should do this here. Like, cause I don't know. Cause I've been doing it my way for so long.
Yeah.
That maybe something good could come out of doing it a different way.
Yeah, because Colin's at the end of the day, right? He's not really involved in the... Yeah, so yours, it's man alone. And yeah, it's really hard to learn everything always being the boss.
Right.
Right, so to bring somebody in is like a, maybe even like a counterpoint or something. Yeah. Interesting. So you think by the way you did, because this way you did some things different, like, yeah, with the drums, for example, and also losing some of the old keyboard sounds. When you're on tour, are you looking for keyboards? God, remember when you got your shit stole, but you got it back, right?
Yeah, then we got it stolen again.
Oh, fuck!
Maybe on the... I don't remember if I saw you on the last Tobacco tour in fall of 16. Probably not.
I can't remember.
I don't think I did. I think you were on tour, but
tour, okay. I remember you telling me about some theft and you got the stuff back.
Yeah, that was the 2013.
Okay.
We had the 2016 theft, we had the 2011 theft. It's like, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's been 2 years. We're gonna go on tour this year, so.
So no 2018 fucking theft, people, please. So, what about this this other latest theft? Did you get any of it back?
We didn't. Okay. No, we didn't get this stuff back. They didn't get a lot of good stuff. They mainly just got my stuff and all the merch. So. We were able to still get by.
They got a bunch of rubber masks.
Yeah, they got a bunch of t-shirts that they probably, yeah, you know, they probably looked at it and were like, so disappointed.
It's got like the big heart with the face on it.
I think it was the one with the guys rubbing beards. Yeah.
Oh, man. What town was it?
San Francisco.
Wow.
And the funny thing was,
shit,
we played the radio station at Berkeley,
mm-hmm,
that morning, and the host was like, she's like, just so you know, every single band that's played our show this year has gotten broken into. So, you know, be careful with your van. So we put it in like a really well lit spot at the hotel, and yeah, of course it got broken into.
Shit. So it wasn't during the gig, it was while you were caught. Okay. Because that's another time when you're playing, you're kind of vulnerable. The time George Hurley, whenever we got hit, it was usually a broken side window, and it was Georgie's back whack stack he had under the seat, like two or three times. It was, you know, almost like he had the thief magnet in his sack. It was so fucked. I just saw him last week, man. He's good shape. He went back to surfing. Nice. And he's still playing some drums. He was playing with these cats from Redondo Beach called The Farmers. It was kind of a little bit of Meat Puppets kind of thing. But George Hurley, you're always going to be the unique drummer man he is. And so it's good to see him again. We did this thing and got some guys from the old days, Joe Carducci and Spot and old SST days. And that's kind of a little trippy, but it's still to see the cats are left. They're alive, you know. People, it's the end of the first hour. Mayday, 2018. Special guest, Mr. Tom out of Pittsburgh. Watch the Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour two. May 1st, 2018, it's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you. To love, days are near. Faith is high, my journey is done. Love, live, always begins. Faith hospice the best, hope held on high. A blessed sweet ride, my mother is dear. Geese honk outside, say there's flowers, stand vigil. And I, my quiet pride, hospice shelters all. Old movies play quietly, will we wait for a meal. And I love my mom.
Pedro Show. Start off the second hour with Black Moth Super Rainbow doing Bottomless Face. And then Mute Point with Walk the Plank, Mold Omen, Corpse Pose, Joe Brewer with Michigan, Devin Gary and Ross, Ghost Riders. That Gary in that band, that trio, is Gary Panner. Gary Panner was, or is, an artist who created this guy named Jimbo. The old Slash magazines. I don't know if you've ever seen those, but Jimbo was, yeah, that's a trip. You know, even people are, I know that write, read books and stuff, they're all talking about these movies these days that are comic books. And I wonder if the point will ever come, because, you know, a lot of that stuff from World War II and 30s. So I wonder if, like, stuff like Jimbo will make it to my movies 40 or 50 years. Like Raymond's Captive Chains. I don't know, what's your take on comic book movies?
I haven't seen them.
Yeah,
me
either.
I don't
stand that shit. I saw a piece that somebody wrote. They said, actually, what these movies are is big, expensive television shows. Because if you don't know the other movies, you don't know the plot, right? There's so little, there's so much action and so little of the characters because they got to work everybody in, right? That they're actually just big, giant TV shows. Episodic series. But man, those guys who drew those comics, you know, they got what, paid a dime a panel and all no rights to these things. What an econo way, you know, for source material, if you think about it. I bring that up in a way because, you know, I know your idea was the bumpers with the PBS and stuff, but I've always seen them as like little fucking audio movies in a way. Vignettes, you know, not Apocalypse Now kind of things, Heaven's Gate, but more like the, Twilight Zones, or episodes on, what was that other one he had later? Night Gallery, Rod Serling.
Night Gallery, yeah.
Do you ever have a cinematic thing in your mind about your music? Or is it pure music?
No, it's just, I don't really see anything when I do it. It's just, you know, just get it out as quick as possible before it's gone.
Okay. What about when you do them live? You do like to have vids going with them.
Yeah, with the tobacco stuff, but with the Black Moth.
Black Moth,
I've been working on this idea for years where I think we're going to finally hit it the way I always saw it this year, where we set the stage. The videos are just going to be there to set a place. So, like, instead of, like, a bunch of, like, moving and edited scenes and stuff.
Yes.
Just going to be a place, you know, like we're in a field or something.
Yeah.
You see, like, projections in the foreground, you know,
sorry about that.
Or something. And you see in the background, you see the sky and whatever, and everything's kind of moving in real time.
Okay. So it's kind of a setup?
Yeah.
Okay. and not really a narrative. You're just setting up the sitch using the video.
Right, taking people out of the club and putting them to a different spot.
Right. And that and imagery can do that a lot, yeah, and supplement the music. I want to play the permanent hole here, the bottomless face, and now the, oh, shit, I didn't say Babies in the Void. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Babies in the Void was the last tune of that last chunk. Now we're going to play Permanent Hole, you know, because there was a plan to me picking the order of these songs for this show, too.
Thank you. Bole namo che
一边吃一边帮我讲做人的道理，我讲侬做的咸虾味道还是老赞的，伊讲咸虾就算再好吃还是没啥劲，讲来讲去其实还是女人顶有劲，但是老子盯了一只女人，肯定啊没啥劲。老阿哥，我搿辈子没把握各种味道在上边，到今朝算算已经弄脱了50几只女人。我们干嘛？侬到底欢喜哪能样子的女人？伊讲我最欢喜一种身材小悠悠的女人，但是身浪向肉要多，不要瘦得像排骨精。我顶一种模子上一模大一模的女人，我又问伊最近阿有弄过啥个嗲女人？你讲最近天气开始转冷，实在是没情绪。年纪大了，顶顶要紧，懂得保养好身体。隔两天最多蹲了屋里向，放两盘毛皮。
我
Yeah, Watt from Pedro Show. Permanent Black Hole there started off. Then we had some stuff from China. PK-14 Voyagers, Buoy That Long, and finally Top Floor Circus with Boring. And, yeah, I was just saying, Mr. Tom, if he gets a shot, it would be bitching. Actually, Japan too, though. But if you get a shot at going to China to bring either the tobacco or the black moth to it. So, when you put together those videos, just to get out of the audio a little bit, I mean, they're hilarious. You are thinking funny, right? Or is that wrong interpretation?
I've never tried to be funny. I've only ever tried to pick out the absurd, I think. And like, especially like when I first started, I was trying to find the absurd in what was supposed to be serious.
What, Richard Simmons?
Well, maybe not Richard Simmons, but...
think he was serious. He wanted to help them ladies lose the weight, right?
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't trying to be funny.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you watch it now, hasn't raised that.
He was trying to be charming, actually, I think. Right? He endeared himself probably to a lot of middle-aged ladies. Maybe just the same way Liberace did in a way, you know.
Right.
I don't think Liberace was trying to be funny either, but he, in his own trippy way, charming. And, God, there was a lot of weird stuff about Richard. Did you hear about that? They said he was being held captive by his, the lady who cleaned his house or something.
There's like a 6 or 7 episode podcast about that. And if you haven't heard it, you should check it out. It was like fascinating.
He's not involved. It's somebody else, like.
No, it's some guy who like kind of knew him, and he went around interviewing everyone, like in his life, and just as some of the roads you go down in the show, it's really good.
It's a rabbit hole, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I gotta check it out. I mean, he is kind of a phenom, and you know what's wrong with taking care of yourself, doing a little. You know what? Fucked up me and shit, but I got this thing, an elliptical trainer. You know these things?
Yeah.
Where I don't have to worry about falling down, you hold on. And then also the feet don't slap. They're always on the trip. And I got to tell you, man, it's kind of good not to be so out of shape. Especially when you do gigs and you're not huffing and puffing like you were when you were more out of shape. And, you know, I know my figure ain't so svelte, supple, and willowy, but I can feel it when I'm healthy, man. I can feel it when I ain't fucking tuckered. I mean, I try to play hard enough, so I do. You know, that's a sign that they did give something, but the idea, like, you know, you're rolling the dice with the fucking go-down crew, you know. I like this idea. And you yourself, I know you like to keep healthy. So yeah. Maybe in some ways we got some common ground with Richard Simmons. A little bit. You know, the other thing is he don't give a fuck. You know, that's one thing I like about him. It's like, I don't give a goddamn.
Well, you know what? If you listen to this podcast.
Oh, he has one?
No, the podcast about him.
Oh, okay.
What I got out of it was that he did give a fuck. He almost gave too much. You know, he almost cared too much, and that maybe his whole appearance was about him just not wanting to be that person anymore because it was just too much on him.
I know in the beginning he was overweight, right? The program actually was for him to begin with. Okay.
Yeah, I think they talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. I've read this. This is years ago when he was first getting going. And I read about it. It was it actually helped him. It wasn't some, preaching from above. It actually helped his ass out. When I was a boy, when I was more younger, the big guy was Jack LaLanne. This cat, man, I mean, even in his 80s and 90s, he was like towing barges in the San Francisco Bay with his teeth and shit. This guy was wild. He was big with jumpsuits, though. I know not so much with the sparkly shorts. More of a jumpsuit man. And he was early in the morning. And he'd have people, you know, doing the jumping jacks. But his thing was kind of military. That's one thing I liked about Richard Simmons. Not so much military. You know? And I think, like Liberace too, maybe not so threatening in a way, you know? Like, get that shit done or I'm going to beat it out of you. It's more like, well, we're having fun, man. I don't know. What a weird tangent. Sorry about that, Mr. Tom. We're at the end of the second hour of the May Day 2018 Dish Watt Fever Show. Watt totally foaming up on Rich Simmons here. Special guest, Mr. Tom, though. Hold tight for hour three. May 1st, 2018. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
sono purismo astral, astral. We'll be right back.
Precisely like the movements of a caged animal. Basically, we're all waiting for permission to die.
Caramagini, che la Madonna de gente. Caramatocelle, caramatoce me.
You're making it up, it's not real.
It's not real. It's not real to you, but it's real to me.
You mean he goes... Is that what you mean?
Real to you, but it's real to me.
We'll be right back.
Pedro Show start off third hour with the Black Mouse Super Rainbow, brand new, Mr. No One. Then Roosterhead with Independent Princess, Vermes de Limbo with the Brazil Cats with Sonobolismo Astral. Tzil, brand new, Tzil. If not real to you, it's not real to you, but it's real to me. Guided by Voices, Overloaded. And finally, Black Mouse Super Rainbow with Backwash. And speaking of Backwash, which Tom was just telling me about, there's a video out for it, people. It's up on YouTube.com. Is it there or Vimeo? Where do you got this, Tom?
On YouTube.
Okay, yeah. So go to the search thing in the YouTube.com and check out Backwash, Black Mouse Super Rainbow. And I was very surprised when he told me the subject matter. He said love story. Because I... previously I've been talking about Windshield Smasher, which it might be kind of a love story too, but not exactly. And I was asking him how he does this. He actually works with friends who film, and he had a vision in his mind for a scene, but he couldn't figure a story. So his buds got together to make a story around it, and as soon as we get done with the show, I'm going to go watch it. So I haven't seen it yet, but I'm really intrigued. You got a tour coming?
Yeah.
And when does it start? What's the first gig? Where?
First one's D.C. At the end of this month, the 30th.
So you drive from Pittsburgh to D.C.?
Yeah.
That's a little bit of a ride. Would you go through Maryland?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because
wild. Yeah.
I did it to Philly, you know, which was kind of intense. Pittsburgh a little more, but first of the gig. And then, and what's the date?
The 30th, May 30th.
May 30th, okay, people, end of the month. And how long is it going?
It's kind of off and on throughout the month, so we'll do a week on the East Coast, and then we'll do a week in the Midwest, yeah. And then we're actually going to do a week in June, a week in... late June in Europe.
Wow! You're going? All right.
So we're going to do like the
What that, part of Europe?
Robert Smith, Meltdown Festival, stuff like that.
Meltdown in London?
Yeah.
And that's who's curating? And that's usually curated by someone.
Yeah, Robert Smith.
Robert Smith.
And The Cure.
The Cure guy, yeah, okay. I met him once. Jay Maskus was Dinosaurs opening up for him at the Rose Bowl. Jay had me play a song, and the guy was playing ping. He's really good at ping pong. I don't know if you do ping pong, but watch out. Even though he's, you know, lipstick and all that, the dude's bad, all right?
Well, I'm glad I know that.
The shit was flying. I mean, almost like stuff I saw in China with that backhand. He's pretty wild. Not a big talker, but that's great. He chose you, all right. Hey, do you still have some gigs with the nine inch nails?
Yeah, we're going to do that. That whole week in Europe is opening for them.
Wow, how'd that happen?
I don't know.
That's okay.
I'm just glad it did. The only shows we did in 2017 were opening for them. I have no idea.
Trent, did he talk to you?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Okay. He didn't tell you why, though. He's just like, thanks for coming.
I think he just appreciates what I do.
Yeah.
And maybe he just felt sorry for me because, like, I think my last album got so universally trashed that he kind of, like...
The tobacco record?
Yeah. He kind of was the only person to really come out and say that...
No, what, Doug? I played the whole fucking thing on the show.
Good.
I loved it. God, I can't...
It was a good one.
I can't remember reading reviews, man. You know what? Maybe I ain't going to read any. Fuck these people. Okay. But that's bitching. And same with Mr. Smith. Thank you so much for having you aboard. Because I just think people just need more exposure to you, you know? How can people decide if they don't hear you, you know? So that's really cool, them cats getting you in front of good crowds. I want to play here June, July 28th. Because a trippy title.
Oh, הולכים על כפל סמלת ההר, ולא פוגשים בהר, ולא יודעים את ההר, רק מדגדגים את שיפולי בטנת ההר, סומרות שערותיה בחטבה, ומתחת שיפת ההר זורמת במורדות ירחיה, עד כפות רגליה מימיות, ומעל שדי ההר נעים שובבים ברוח הקרירה. הולכים על שפתה המשתרבבת של ההר, כמו רפרוף לשון עדין לפני נשיקה. נחים מעט, חומדים את גזרתה, נחשפים אל פנימיותה. היטב ידענו, לא שלנו היא, ובכל זאת, גניחתה העדינה מזמינה, כאילו היינו ראשונים לחזר אל פתחה, ולבקש אותה לעצמנו.
say how you want this, and I would do anything. I said I don't want to mess around. Say it's so easy, you'll hit yourself in the morning. It's something you'd always laugh about. Now I'm the imposter, a gag reel of what conversation knowledge ain't easy, a birthright or a condemnation. I'll pay for the tickets and you'll pay for the drinks you had to put up. OCD. I thought it was easy. I revised my views on the matter. Something I tried to laugh about. Now I'm the imposter. It's worthwhile as long as you don't really need me. It's alright, point taken. The common sense I'm lacking.
Thank you.
Okay, people, last music for this edition. We started that chunk off of June, July 28th, Black Moth Super Rainbow. June, July. Speaking of that, after the Seven Fields of Athlon with Horizon Square, maybe sometime in June or July, Mo might want to come on the show and talk about her new album.
I'm trying.
Okay. Keep trying for me, please. Then we had Crash Landing with Leste Balcon, 1518, Vesuvian Party, Farthest South, Walking on the Crease, Four-Dimensional Nightmare with Electromagnetic Interactions, I Would Do Anything by I Took Your Name, and finally, We Might Come Back, Black Moth Super Rainbow. We Might Come Back. Again, I want the songs to speak for themselves, so don't, no giveaway. But my suspicion is you will be that. It won't be, it might be. Now, I don't know if it's going to be Tobacco. I don't know if it's going to be Black Moth Super Rainbow. Have you ever thought of being another incarnation?
All the time.
Oh, really?
I think it'd be great because every time you know, the whole reason I started doing Tobacco was because I thought it would be fun to have no expectations, you know, because like no matter what you do and no matter what you tell yourself, and it doesn't matter that you make music for yourself, you know, that does matter very much, like when you're making it, when you put it out into the world, it kind of does matter what people think of what you're doing.
Sure, sure.
And I think like you get to a point where you can never do anything right anymore because, you know, everyone has expectations and they either want, you know, there are people who want more of the same and then there are people who want you to change. And so if you do either of those things, then, you know, the other group of people is upset.
Yep.
And then if you do something else, this group of people is upset. So I think, you know, having something all new is like that no one even knows it's you. I don't know. That just seems like the way
more
to go.
Free.
Just
for
me.
And then if you also work in this other angle where you might want to go in with another cat pushing you, maybe that makes sense to have a different manifestation.
Right.
Yeah. Really interesting. But anyway, I really like what you came up with here. You know, I think last time we talked when I was in your town and we were at, I can't remember his name, but.
Is his name Gary?
Gary, yeah, great cat. Sorry. I'll drink your bourbon, chow your peeps, but I won't remember your name. What a dick. But anyway, sorry, Gary. And we were talking, and you were saying something about a greatest hits thing.
Oh yeah, that was a Tobacco album. That wasn't a greatest hits. That was almost like greatest misses. That was it came out at the end of last year. It was just all the all the rarities. It's like Tobacco stuff, like either didn't make it onto an album or like remixes that, you know, with the vocals stripped away.
That's right, in the tune with that K and myself and Flea, right? Okay. That's from that?
No. That was on one of the Black Moth singles.
That's right, it's a B-side. I'm an idiot, sorry. Anyway, that was righteous to be part of that, so thank you for letting that happen. And man, I want to you don't come to the West Coast this tour?
We're working on it right now.
Okay. So maybe I get to see the show live, man, and the setup in the field and everything.
I think we'll be there in October.
Oh, okay, Rocktober. Okay, I'll be there, you know, I'm pretty sure, because, like I said, it's stay home for a while. I love what you do, I love what you did, I think, what you're going to do. So keep on keeping on, Mr. Tom. It's beautiful stuff, man, and a big inspiration for Watt, so thank you.
Thank you.
People, it's been the May 1st, 2018 edition of Watt Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.